Oh, so that's the reason you've been acting so disappointed every time when your bus pulls up. Huh. Well, I'm so sorry about this, Andy. When your grandmother and I gave you that membership, it was for the purpose of your having fun.
But I do have fun. After a swim class.
But now, tell me again what happened, and let's stop. No, not now. So I can hear what you're saying.
Without asking any of us if we knew how to swim, they made us line up, and then one at a time, when the instructor said, go, we had to jump in and swim the whole length of the pool, from the shallow end to the deep. And we weren't allowed to touch the sides. Every boy had to do it.
Did every boy make it? Did you?
I did. Some didn't. This one guy, he couldn't. He got halfway across and his arms weren't even coming out of the water. He was gulping and coughing and going under.
So what happened? No one jumped in to save him?
No. No.
Well, what did the instructor do?
He just walked over to the wall and took down a pole and handed it to the boy who was now on the bottom.
And this scared you? It would have scared me.
Every week, I don't know what they're going to ask us to do. I've heard the last class, we have to swim 10 laps.
Well, you may have been a little young to be enrolled in this class.
I am the youngest.
You want to sit out a year?
No.
Why not?
I want to learn how to swim. I just wish they weren't so.
They want to challenge you to become better swimmers.
Fine. But don't let us drown.
Now, did that boy drown?
No.
Well, I think that's wise and pretty brave of you, Andy. I'll do some inquiring about the lifeguarding. Meantime, I think you should convince yourself not to worry if you find yourself in that same predicament. The important thing is not to panic. You know how to hold your breath.
No. Yes.
You know how to open your eyes underwater.
I guess.
Well, it stings, but you know how, huh?
I guess.
And you know how to kick for the surface and how to grab a pole and pull yourself along. Hmm? And you've been able to do the things they've asked so far?
Barely. Not a good swimmer.
Ah, but you will get better. Besides, I've heard that it happens sometimes that those who start out the worst swimmers end up becoming the best.
And the other ones just drown.
Yeah, very good. If you can laugh about your fears, Andy, then you can master them. Now, let us get back to our story, huh? And forget about our own travails so we can concentrate on Andy Mouse's instead. Now, in this episode, he's facing a test, too, of a different kind. His grandfather is going to quiz him and ask his opinion, I think. When Andy Mouse returned to the lair that night, after he had had his moving experience with the snow-white creature in the stained glass window, he was delighted to find Grandfather Mouse wide awake and able to communicate. Andy soon related to him how the image in the stained glass window had stirred him so, and asked his grandfather if he could possibly know what sort of animal it was. Grandfather answered he wasn't sure, but after years of listening to and trying to interpret human sermons, he said he thought he had it narrowed down to 3 possibilities. It was either 1, a baby sheep, or 2, a lamb, or something they called the Great I Am. Andy wondered what that could be, but Grandfather Mouse said, unfortunately, that was all he knew, at least as concerns that particular stained glass window. But he did tell Andy he could tell him considerably more about the huge stained glass window north of the nave. The big one, biggest in the church by far, nearly as big as the side of a barn, which the mice in the church had always referred to as 3 men in a boat. But not exactly accurate, though. It was 2 in a boat and 1 on the shore. Grandfather Mouse said, "You've seen that window many times before, haven't you, Andy?" Andy replied,
Yes.
And would you agree with me that all three figures are remarkably similar?
Yes, Grandfather.
All the same size humans?
Yes.
And would you agree with me they all look to be equals in every way you can say? From footwear to wardrobe to hairstyles?
That's true.
All three have halos round their heads?
They do.
And yet, guess what?
What?
Here is what I have come to find out. That one of the three humans in that picture is said to be divine.
What's divine?
Andy inquired. Grandfather Mouse opined, I don't know myself. I'm not really sure. Generally, I think it means being so special in your being that others of your same species will get down on their knees to worship you, which we've seen the humans frequently do when they come here on Sundays. Well, all I know is one of the three up there in that window is said to be that special someone they kneel down to.
Which one?
I wish I knew.
You haven't figured it out?
Not yet.
But how can you tell if they all three look exactly alike?
Exactly. Of course, we should take it into account. It may be because they're humans. And to us, all humans look alike.
It's true, they do.
Of course, the humans, too, are probably thinking we all look alike.
If only we did,
Andy said morosely. Grandfather patted his grandson's hand. Now, none of that.
Grandfather, please try to define for me what divine is.
I don't know, Andy. I only know one of its indicators.
Which is?
Which is, as I say, to be somehow so wondrously unique that others will fall and worship at your feet. Andy was thoughtful.
Hard to imagine another mouse I could ever do that to, Grandfather. Unless, of course, it was you.
Or your dad, or your mother, perhaps. No, I have a hunch we're talking about something else, of a different nature.
I'm confused.
Well, I'm confused, too.
Are there divine mice, then?
I wouldn't know. If there are, I don't think I've met any.
But how would you know?
Exactly right.
If like in the window, they all look alike.
Well, now you've got it.
Who's ever to know who's who and who we're supposed to bow down to if we can't tell ourselves? We might make a mistake. We might offend the real by bowing to the fake. So what do we do, Grandfather?
Well, I suppose we can do what the humans do.
Which is?
Assume there's a God who's smarter than you, then trust that what matters most to any heavenly host is not our answers, but our attitude. Andy brooded some more over this point.
I don't really know about the three men in a boat. I don't think I'd bow down to any of them. But if I had my druthers and was allowed to choose, what works best for me, I think, would be to bow to the lamb in the window.
Grandfather Mouse was impressed that his grandson was mature enough to be pondering these sorts of questions. Therefore, young mouse, I'm going to put you to the test. That is, if you're willing.
Oh, yes, but how?
I have something to show you that I haven't till now.
What is it?
It's here. You'll see. But first, you know what I need you to do, huh? Fetch me a light. That is one of the nuisances of this place, always being dark as Noah's Ark.
Andy reflected that to him, however, the perpetual darkness of home had always been a comfort, allowing him to forget his freakish coloration.
Bring me a light, Andy. Any mouse brave enough to conquer the tower all by himself, and curious enough to show a budding interest in what the stained glass window images are meant to connote, and who just played divine what's my line with the three men in a boat, therefore I say go. Fetch the flame, the way your father taught you. And when you come back, I'll show you something I've never shown you before. Andy was proud to be put to the test and to be, for the first time, granted the special privilege of fetching the flame from the altar candle. Picking out a straw, away he zoomed, and in an astonishing 5 minutes was back in the room, faster than Grandfather expected. Bursting into the room with the burning ember held between his lips, Andy transferred the yellow flame to the candle stub wick. As before, it burned for a time, weakest of pilot lights, then gradually growing until it starkly illuminated the room and all the carved figurines standing about. Grandfather could plainly see Andy before him, and it filled him with the greatest of joy. Andy, however, could also plainly see that one side of Grandfather's face still hung like a drape. The other half, however, was still full of its old vim and vigor. That part grinned and beamed and said, "Boy, you were fast! Won't your dad be proud?" Grandfather Mouse then said, "Now here's what I want you to do. Switch to high beams and follow me." In candlelight terms, high beams meant lighting the candle at both ends. Andy did as he was asked, using another wisp of straw to complete the task. Soon, two flames were going and the caravan began its stately procession. Grandfather at the lead, Andy at his back, the candle in between, grandly lighting their way like a golden chariot with flaming hubcaps. Its warm sun glow gave Andy a chance to observe his grandfather from behind. It was heartening to see him up and moving about again, but disheartening too, as he could clearly see how one leg still dragged behind him uselessly. Mostly, however, Andy had to concentrate on guiding the rolling candle. And by the way, should you choose to suppose that steering a rolling candle by means of your nose is an easy proposition, well, it's not. Once you get it going, it's like a snowball rolling. Really hard to steer and impossible to stop on a dime. And should you not believe me, I suggest you
try it sometime.
Here you are, Sir Experimenter. I figured you'd be asking. This is your grandmother's, so don't drop it. It goes back in the napkin drawer when you're done. Now, use the kitchen floor.
Can I light it?
Of course not. Never think of doing that kind of thing, Andy.
You're right, I'm sorry.
Flame is never a party favor. Fire is always to be respected.
I won't. That was okay? A bad idea.
All right, then. Try it unlit. No, that's because it's tapered. Those are the only kind she has. Andy Mouse's candle stubs probably weren't. Most church candles aren't. All right. You tried. Now come on back up. Okay.
I had to do an Easter egg race with my nose one time.
You did, huh? Well, who won?
The person with the biggest nose.
That's good, Andy. The person with the biggest nose. That's good. Gradually, the caravan continued on its way until they reached the bay where Grandfather's room was located. And the candle entered and rolled to a stop at the foot of Grandfather's matchbox bed. Grandfather reached up to pull back the bedspread, but paused. "Now you know I've had this blanket for years."
"Yes, Grandfather."
"But I've never shown you what's on the other side of it, nor have I told you how I came by it in the first place. That happened one day when I was surprised by two volunteer Sunday school teachers who came into the room where I was foraging, and I didn't hear them. which forced me to seek refuge under a desk. In a short time, a classroom of children arrived, and one of the teachers, the older one, stood up front to teach, while the other at the back handed out cupcakes. The teacher up front was saying, "Now, now, children, children, settle down, please. Harold, that icing goes in your mouth, not up your nostrils."
"He bumped my elbow."
"Never mind, use a napkin. Now, today, class, I want to tell you about what I was fascinated to learn last night out of the Bible study lesson plan book." The children had grown quiet with their cupcakes. The teacher up front, it may have been her first day, appeared to become more nervous and flustered. "Now, children, I think you'll find this very interesting. It's about a famous artist from Italy, an Italian. Oh, dear, now I'm drawing blank. I can't even remember the artist's." The teacher at the back, whose mouth was full of cupcake, called out, "Oh, yes, Michelangelo." I don't know why I was blanking on that. I sometimes confuse him with that other one, the Da Vinci. Oh, yes, Leonardo da Vinci. He came later, I think. Oh, was it earlier? I don't know what I've done with my notes. Anyway, this is Michelangelo we're talking about. And he painted his most famous painting on the ceiling of a chapel in Italy. Oh, dear. Now I've forgotten the church's name. Where the painting was located.
Sistine!
What, Hilda? Your mouth is full.
Insisting!
Insisting is not going to help me remember it. Either I will or I won't. So please don't make it harder on me by trying to...
In Sistine Chapel!
Oh, yes, of course. The Sistine Chapel. That's where it's hung. I mean, that's where it was frescoed.
Grandfather Mouse said, "That's pretty much how the whole class went, Andy. At the end, each child was given one of these bedspreads to take home. I believe they called them washcloths. One of the children threw hers away, so I claimed it. And now I'm going to pull it back so you can see on its underside is a stenciled reproduction of that famous painting. Now go ahead and look at it. It's another case like three men in a boat, except in this instance, count up the figures. You'll note there are just two. Two men coming together, one on the left, the other coming from the right, each with an arm and a hand and a forefinger extended, and so close to touching, they're probably about to receive the shock of static electricity, like when you've been walking on wool rugs."
"I know how to do that. Want me to show you?"
"No, that's fine. You've done enough experimenting with that.
I can do it.
I know you know all about that." Grandfather Mouse continued.
Come on.
"Now, young mouse, as you see again, as humans, they are quite similar. But here is what I have come to find out. That one of the two men in this picture, too, is considered to be divine. Now, I want you to take your time and tell me which one it is, if you can. Which one is God and which one is man?"
"How do I know?"
"Figure it out."
"But how?"
"By taking the same route we all have to take. Be a detective. Apply the Socratic method I've been teaching you about. Start by noticing things and tell me what you see." Andy complied.
"Well, what do I see? First of all, this guy."
"You mean the reclining, clean-shaven one on the left?"
"Yes."
"What about him?"
"He's not wearing any clothes."
"And what does that tell you?"
"Nothing, I suppose. I don't know. Except, does God wear clothes?"
"I don't know. You decide."
I don't know, but I would guess if he's God, not if he doesn't want to. I mean, God can pretty much do anything he wants to do, including not wearing clothes if he chooses, whereas all the humans I've known, that is the ones I've seen come to this church, they're all wearing clothes, and presumably they're not all divine. Therefore, I'm inclined to believe this naked one on the left must be God.
The Almighty?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, keep noticing. What else do you see that would support your conclusion?
Well, just look at this dude. Check his attitude. Look at the way he leans back, lounging on the lawn like he's reclining on a divan.
What's a divan?
It's a couch without a back.
And,
Andy Mouse said,
just look at his head, tipped back like it's top-heavy with knowledge. Plus that heavy-lidded expression he wears, that seems to say he's a trifle bored. He's seen it all before. Plus, look at his pose, his left knee raised and his forearm resting on it just like you'd expect to see from an authority figure. See how he's lifting it up, nonchalantly off his knee, as though raising it to accept a kiss from an ardent admirer? Or perhaps it's on its way north to his mouth to stifle a yawn with the back of his hand. As I say, a trifle bored. And why wouldn't he be? After all, he knows what the future has in store. He's got that all-knowing look, that know-it-all expression. Yes, Grandfather, I'm ready to pick, and my guess is this. I'm going to say it's the naked one on the left who is God. Am I right?
Grandfather's nod was polite, but gave no answer. Instead, pressing on, he said, this means, I take it, if I'm to understand, you're saying the human on the left is the Almighty God, which then means the one on the right must be mortal man.
So I am.
Defend.
Well, I don't know. Just look at him. Look at the old man's expression. So earnest, so intense. His arm is reaching out to the other, whom he obviously adores. Look how he leans. Look how he yearns. Just look at his desire to make contact. That's got to be a human trait. The other way around wouldn't make sense. Why would God need to rush to man? But man rushing to touch God, that makes total sense. If, as humans say, and humans don't lie, an audience with the real God would be like heaven and Eden personified. And if that's true, if that's the case, if there is a chance for a direct face-to-face, one would think that every human would earnestly seek to know him. Look how he poses, like the figurehead on a prow. Yearning, straining, beseeching, reaching to make contact somehow. Now, he's got to be the human. And notice, too, Grandfather, he's the only one making an effort. That's the dead giveaway, if there ever was one. God rushing to meet man, that doesn't scan. But man rushing to God? Well, what could be odd about that? Dog bites man is common. Man bites dog is not. That's got to be the human who is rushing to touch God. After all, the wondrousness of his being true, it would be a form of low-grade insanity not to, wouldn't it? It would have to be.
Grandfather listened and once more nodded politely, but again offered no hint as to what the correct answer was. But there was something in his silence, something in his non-answer that conveyed the impression he was satisfied with his grandson's valiant attempt to reason it out and convey what he meant.
Grandfather, now I've told you my solution. You must tell me.
Just then their conversation was cut short by a sound that sounded like a gunshot report. Pow! Followed by another just like it. Pow! Accompanied by a rolling rumble that seemed to penetrate right through the church wall lining and vibrate the space in the place they were hiding. Grandfather Mouse said, "Quickly, grandson, go and see. Then hurry back and report to me." And this is a good place to stop.
Just a little more.
No. Take your plate in.
But can't you just tell me what the towels are?
Your bus will be here any minute. Yes, you're my pal. Here comes your bus. Gym bag.
I know, I always forget it. Probably because I want to.
Yeah, you're a brave lad, Andy.
Love you, Grandpa. Bye.
Love you, too.